worship what I thought it was? Well, first, it was a thing the church did to wait for those who arrived late so they wouldn't miss what the know-it-all behind the pulpit had to say. That was my first definition of worship. But then I got convicted that maybe I was missing the true meaning of worship. So then it must be that I had to sing songs to call on this God because I've not lived up to His standards all week. He would be pleased, and then all the bad things that happened to me would go away, and I'd be happy. And I got convicted that I was missing the true meaning of worship. And I remember sitting in church during prayer and wondering, what am I doing? I don't even know who I'm praying to. I don't know the God of these people. Is all this fake? As I looked around and all the heads were bowed, I saw 250 people praying. Are all of them faking it? My mind wandered to all the people in the churches of Howard County, and then to the state, and then to the nation, and on to the world. Now, a fleeting thought hit me just for a second, and a realistic thought hit me, and it just dawned on me. You know, I've had time to have a few conversations with a few of these people, and some of them seem to be semi-intelligent. Why would they give their hard-earned money to something that they didn't believe in? That's not logical to me. And I got convicted that I was missing the true meaning of worship. So we started to attend a church on a regular basis, and I was doing my best to cover up my lack of knowledge of their God. One day a man stood up and he poured out his heart over the persecuted church in China. He had tears streaming down his face. Why on earth is he worried about people halfway around the globe that he does not know and that he will never meet? I don't see him here today, but Perry Martinson, thank you for living out your worship. Again, convicted, I'm probably missing something. Oh boy, then it happened. I met this woman in our church. And I was fairly convinced that she was not from this earth. She was from Pluto or some other planet somewhere. Because she loved people. She loved all people, including me. She didn't know me because if she had, there's no way on this earth that she could possibly love me. See, she had something that I knew nothing about. She understood what it meant to be an alien to this world. And I desperately needed to know where she got it from. But if I had asked, I would have to admit that I didn't know Myra Sanburn's God. So I watched and I learned as she loved. Myra, I thank you. I know she's not here today, but I thank you for living out your worship. Now, I was not convicted, I was convinced that I was the one that was wrong. She is here today. Hi, Myra. Thank you. I was convinced that I was missing the big picture. And little did I know that God was revealing Himself to me so that when my darkest hour came, that I'd have a place to fall. Another thing that soon became clear to me was that God had been reaching out to me my entire life. I simply could not see Him due to all the other gods I had been worshiping, the biggest one being me. Now, we'll get to what true authentic worship is shortly, but I wanted to say all that for two reasons. One, I hope that you simply take away the fact that true worship is dependent on a relationship with God first. And two, please don't judge those who are spiritually blind. God is working it out. They don't need to be told how wrong they are. They simply need to see how to live it out. live out your worship. I didn't bring up these two people's names to give them a big head. I brought up their names to let you know and understand that how you live out your life may have eternal consequences for somebody. Somebody you don't even know, and you don't know that's watching you. Discipline. There are two main themes that are talked about in the dictionary and the Bible. One refers to punishment, and the other one refers to training. The discipline that we're talking about is training. The simple definition is this, and I love definitions in their simplicity because I'm not that smart. Submission to the process. A marathon runner doesn't start running a marathon. He starts by tying on his shoes and running down to the end of the block. And then around the block. And then maybe a mile. And then five. A 5K. A mini marathon. And then eventually a marathon. Unless you're from Kenya and you're getting chased by a lion, then it's pretty easy. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to offend anybody if you're from Kenya. But if something's going to chew on you, it's pretty easy to run. Doctors go to med school. Lawyers go to law school. Professors get a master's or a PhD. Electricians, plumbers, construction workers, welders go through an apprenticeship to become a journeyman in their trade. Armed forces have boot camp. Teachers get licensed. Financial advisors to truck drivers have to test for qualifications for their jobs. They train before they test. This training is simply for temporal positions. We have spiritual training that we need to go through as well. It's really simple. I just use these because they're everyday, average, ordinary things that we go through in life. And they're used, God uses them to show us that we have spiritual training that we need to take as well. Now, these temporal positions, it's quite possible that God called you to even. But it's not necessarily a definition for what you were made for. You were created for a purpose. A relationship with God in which you worship Him with the very breath He has breathed into you. Now, I'm not going to pull any punches. I want you to be challenged by the fact, if you don't already realize it, that the very breath that you're about to breathe, that one is a gift from God Himself. You are a walking medical miracle. If you had any idea what it kept to keep your body going, you would be amazed. Now, I believe that modern medicine in my lifetime will successfully clone a human being. I don't agree with it. I also doubt if they will ever have asked God if they should first. I'll tell you this. When they do it, I won't be impressed. You see, my God, the one who created me, He took some dirt and He formed a man. And He breathed the breath of life into it. What happened? Man, I had a name picked out for this guy and everything. Man. Thomas. Hey, just in case God does show up and breathes the breath of life into this mess, please don't step on His face. I was even going to let you name my pets. Oh, that's right. We don't control the breath of life, do we? Do we? The process of meeting God, accepting Him for who He is, receiving Him in your heart, then beginning a relationship built on trusting Him for who He says He is, that will bring you to the point of worship. Romans 11:33 through 12:2 says this, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable His judgments and His paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been His counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from Him and through Him and for Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now let's see if this makes sense. You just heard this verse, 11:35. Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? How much is your next breath worth? How much you got on you? If you could put it on the table, what's your net worth? If you could put it on the table, what would you do next for your next breath? And I'm guessing if you asked an 80-year-old and a 20-year-old, depending on their spiritual maturity, you might get two different answers. What's your next breath worth? Is it priceless? Can you put a value on it? What can you give God in payment for your next breath? To even own one of your breaths. Scripture is clear, gentlemen. God cannot be bought. You have nothing of value before the Creator of all things. When we come to the truth of God, that the next verse, 11:36, is our reality, for from Him and through Him and for Him are all things. All is such a big little word. All things. Draw a circle, put all in it, and you got everything. To Him be the glory forever. Amen. True authentic worship comes from a place that understands life itself does not belong to us. It's not ours to possess. That the breath of life is a gift and no earthly accomplishment is worthy to be credited to human beings. Because all things have been created to bring glory to God, not to man. Do me a favor. Stand at the Grand Canyon. Recite to God what your accomplishments are. Stare into a crisp night sky and talk to God about something that you've created with your own two hands. Watch the birth of your own child. Tell God you're in control. Catch a sunset on the beach in the Caribbean and tell God how He's got it all wrong. Tell me how you do with that. So how do we put discipline and worship on the same page? By submitting to the process of understanding everything is God's, made for His purposes, including me. I've not been called here today to give you a warm and fuzzy message so that you can leave feeling good about where you are in life. The discipline of worship is not for the smooth sailing days. When your life is all cotton candy couches and rainbow flavored unicorns. That's not what it's for. It's easy to worship when you feel like it. The discipline of worship is done so that when the bottom of your life drops out, you can stand on God's truth and the promises to sustain you. When your darkest hours have cascaded in and hovered over you like a dense fog, when your mind is slipping from foundational truth into mire of death and destruction, all glory be to God, this is the time to worship. This is the time. to strike out the sword of the Spirit and to stand firm on the Word of God. And doing this, you're showing your true, authentic worship. I'm going to bring you a couple of Bible verses, and they're going to be from the Amplified Bible. It'll be Isaiah 59:19 through 63. So as the result of the Messiah's intervention, they shall reverently fear the name of the Lord from the west and His glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him and put him to flight. For he will come like a rushing stream which the breath of the Lord drives. Your Creator, the one who gave you breath, says trouble will come. It will come, gentlemen. Also that He Himself has established help for you. And just after this, in Isaiah 60:1-3, arise from the depression and the prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. Shine, be radiant with the glory of the Lord. For your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth and a dense darkness all peoples. But the Lord shall rise upon you, O Jerusalem, and His glory shall be seen on you. And nations shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. Why? It's all due to the distance traveled between these two verses. Isaiah 59:20-21. He shall come as a redeemer to Zion, and to those in Jacob, Israel, who turn from transgression, says the Lord, because of worship. The Creator of your next breath made a covenant with His worshipers. As for me, this is my covenant or league with them, says the Lord. My Spirit who is upon you and who writes the law of God inwardly on the heart, and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart out of your mouths nor out of the mouths of your true spiritual children or out of the mouths of your children's children, says the Lord, from henceforth and forever. How long is forever? It's about like all, isn't it? So what is worship? Intentional breathing for God. Your life lived for His purposes. And I'll tell you, it takes discipline. It takes discipline to keep from flying off the handle when the darkness creeps in. Tell me, Mac, what'd you feel like when they told you that your job was gone? Did you have an uprising? Is there something in you wanting to smack somebody? What does it feel like when somebody says, sorry, your home's gone? What does it feel like when you find out a child's got an illness or you hear the C word? Is there not darkness and despair? This is what worship was made for, gentlemen. Our Creator has informed us that our enemy is coming. And that worship is the answer. Because He has already cleared a path for us. He has already cleared a path for us. What's your next breath worth? The real question is, what are you going to do with it? Who does it belong to? God seeks His worshipers. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for this day. We have so little to offer You. Matter of fact, it's just dust. But we worship You. We worship You for who You are, the Creator of all things. You have given us life. You sustain our life. You continue to create life around us. For that, we simply worship. It's all we have, Lord. We turn our lives over You today. We ask that You give sight to the blind. We ask that the lame walk. We ask that the blind see. Those that cannot hear, hear, Lord. They hear Your word, they respond, and then they worship from a place that is created inside of them that they don't even know about. but that you call to, that you and you alone call to. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.